Hi, my name is Deck Doyle, and I've been a driving instructor for the best part of 15 years. I'm a full-time instructor, and my driving school is Top Gear Driving School. That is Top Gear Driving School. It's a great name, isn't it? www.topgeardrivingschool.ie. I'm a fully accredited ADI, and you can find me on the RSA website. I've set up this podcast to help take the fear and stress out of learning to drive, and to help people who want to learn to drive to become a safe and responsible driver, to build their confidence. I found the best way to achieve this is to understand the car and to understand the system of driving. I think it's unfair to expect somebody to sit in the car and just get it. What's easy about controlling a ton of metal? We're just going to go straight into lesson two today. Last week, the last episode, lesson one, we covered the primary controls in the car, secondary controls, and how to get the car moving. Today, we're going to deal with lesson two, and that's about correct positioning. Now, a lot of the lessons that are set out in the syllabus are predicated on the fact that you will be able to practice between lessons. And in my experience, that's not always possible. There is a serious cost to learning to drive and to driving the car itself, you know, access to it, access to somebody who has their license for 2 years that can go out with you. The insurance can be prohibitive, tax, petrol, you know, it is an expensive exercise. So a lot of people actually don't have a car and they therefore can't practice between the lessons. So they use the lessons as learning process as well as practice. The problem that presents is that on some of the lessons, there's a huge amount to cover that wouldn't actually be possible if you haven't had the practice beforehand. What I mean by that is on lesson two, we deal with roundabouts and with slip roads, moving in and out of junctions and that. Now, if you haven't had any practice driving, certainly, I'm not going to take you onto a roundabout in lesson two, but it's on the syllabus and we'll talk about it at a later point on how we actually deal with roundabouts. For the moment, we're going to deal with, first of all, what is known as the cockpit drill. So what is the cockpit drill? The cockpit drill is how you set yourself up in the car, how you set your seat, right, where your feet are. Your left foot is on the clutch and only uses the clutch. You use the clutch to change gears. As we said before, let the clutch push your foot back out so it's a nice smooth transition. Your right foot then starts over the brake and pivots to the accelerator. So your right foot is in action all the time. It is constantly working, whereas your left foot only to change gears. And it's important that you do that. And we use the hinges of our ankle to control the pedals. So we're not pressing down with our toes, we're using the ball of our foot. You have more power, more control. Your sitting position should have a slight bend in your knees, right? So it gives you more control and more power for the gears and pedals. And that's what we're looking for, you know what I mean? To be able to push the clutch in all the way without stretching to it, to be able to push the brake in without stretching to it or being on top of it. And that's how we set ourselves up in the seat. You should be looking at the top third of the window. So you're not ducking under the sun visor, or you're not trying to look between the wheel and the screen. You're looking at the top third to give yourself the maximum view through the window. And that's really important. We've always said it's about outside the car. The driving is outside the car, looking up into the road, getting the information. So you don't want anything blocking your vision, as I say, like the steering wheel or the sun visor. You get the seat to a height where you can do that. Nobody can tell you when you're comfortable. You're the only person who knows that. And it's important that you get yourself comfortable. If you're going to sit in the seat, you know, for any length of time, you want to make sure you're comfortable. You're not cramping yourself or crowding yourself, you know what I mean, with the steering wheel. Get the seat comfortable to your liking. In a lot of the cars today, you can adjust the steering column, again, up, down, so you don't want your knees knocking off it. And again, it gives you that ability to be able to see the screen. That's the most important thing, your speed, your oil, your petrol, you know what I mean, the revs on the car. These are all important. How the lights are on. If you're driving and you can't see the high beam, you're blinding people, you're a danger on the road. So you should be able to see. It's the blue light. If that's on, you're blinding people. Not a good thing. We wouldn't like it happening to you, but we won't do it to others. But if you can't see the screen, you know, the chances are you'll never know. We then look to set our mirrors. Now, what are we looking for in our mirrors? Our mirrors, we're looking to see a third of the car and two thirds of the road. Why is that important? It's important because if I can't see my own car, I can see plenty of road, but I've no idea where I am in relation to the other cars that are coming from behind or the bikes. I need to be able to see them to gauge, is it safe to move out? Am I safe to change? Safe to change lanes? By checking my mirrors, I can see where the cars behind me are. So that's why we set our mirrors with a third of the car and two thirds of the road. You're doing both wing mirrors to that, left and right. Your centre mirror, it should be in line, the top of the centre mirror should be in line with the top of the back window. So it's in effect framing the window. That way I'm getting, again, all the information. If I'm looking at the ceiling at the back of the car, or if I'm looking at the headrests, I'm not getting the information I need, which is what's happening on the road. So I'm constantly checking my mirrors every 10 seconds. And what am I looking for when I'm checking my mirrors? A, to make sure I'm not being blindsided. I can see what's coming from behind and where they are and where I am in relation to them. And B, where am I on the road? How do I position myself on the road using my mirrors? I say to everybody, when you're walking down the street, how often do you check your mirrors? You don't, because you don't have them. Here, we have them and we use them. We've set them as we want them for ourselves. So we're going to be able to see on the right mirror the line in the middle of the road. In the left mirror, we see the curb or the double yellow line. Now I'm in the middle of my side of the road. If the distance between car and curb is the same as car and line, I'm in the middle of my side of the road. I'm safe. I'm not threatening anybody. And if you look up into the road as cars are approaching you, you'll see they're not hugging the line in the middle of the road. They're in the middle of their side. So there's plenty of space for everybody. I'm not threatening them. They're not threatening me. Now I can begin to relax. And I feel safe because I'm in the middle of my side of the road. And that's how we correctly position ourselves on the straight. By using our mirrors to check where I am. The road turns and bends and twists. So I need to be constantly checking. Now, if you recall in an earlier lesson, we said, you know, if I got out and walked 50 feet, it would take me 5 seconds. At 30 kilometres an hour in the car, I'm going to cover that same 50 feet in a quarter of a second. What does that mean? That means I have to change the way I've been thinking all along, but it means that if I check my mirrors, 1, 2, 3, I scan them. I'm not parting my hair, I'm not putting on makeup, I'm just scanning my mirrors. I will do it in a quarter of a second, all three of them. So I've only travelled 50 feet. I'm not impairing myself in any way. If there's something happening out in front of me, I'm going to deal with that. But other than that, I check my mirrors every 10 seconds when it's safe to do so. And that will correctly position myself on the road. When I'm coming to a corner, where do I position myself on the corner? If I'm turning left, as I'm approaching the corner, first thing I do is check my mirrors. Where am I? I move to the left. I indicate. And I turn into the turn. 180 degrees, that's turning the wheel upside down, will bring me into the corner. Why is that important? Because it now allows somebody to turn right, or indeed to go straight ahead. On that road, before you get to the corner, it's a single lane road. Always is. But by turning into the turn, you're now creating two lanes, or indeed three lanes, depending on the width of it. But certainly I've allowed other people to travel as well. It's not just the same single lane road. And if I don't turn into the turn and I'm only halfway around it, now I'm not making room for anybody else to turn right or left or to go straight. So we get to the turn, into the turn 180 and stop. Part of the problem is when we get to the turn, we tend to look right to see is there anything coming. Now, first of all, I'm not just going to drive into the road. That would be folly. That would be nonsense because I don't know if there's anything coming. So my focus should be on setting the car up into the turn first, stopping, and then look to see is it safe to go. And if it's safe to go, I go. If it's not, I wait. And it's cost me nothing. but I can't just get to the turn. But what happens is when I do that and look right, I bring the car right with me. And now I'm in the middle of the road again, and it's not viable for anybody to go right or left. So we set the car up first, then look right. And when it's safe to go, we move off nice and gently again, getting your bite with the clutch. You don't accelerate, don't change on the turn. Deal with the turn, accelerate and change then. And if you try it, you'll find that that works very well for you. The other point we need to focus on when we are talking about our cockpit drill, just going back to that, is the blind spot. Now, problem with the blind spot is everybody tells you to check it. Nobody tells you where it is. So what you can do to resolve this for yourself is get a friend, sit in the driving seat, set your mirrors as you want them, a third of the car, two thirds of the road, and ask somebody to walk from behind the car up to where you're sitting. And if they get to you, you should be able to see them right up to where they're now at your right shoulder. And there they go out of view in your mirror. That's your blind spot. Now, the stopping distance at 30 kilometres an hour is 10 metres in dry weather. Ask them to step out that 10 metres and see where they would stop normally if they hit the brakes when they got to you. So you've stopped them. You have interfered with their speed and you will take the full impact. And if you take nothing else from the lesson today, you've got to take this. The blind spot is the most important thing. Because if you don't check it and they hit you, it's game over. At 30 kilometres an hour, you're not coming out of that. So what you need to make sure is every time you move off, you check your blind spot. Okay? Now, what do you do when you drive? You turn right, you turn left, you drive straight. You start the car, you stop the car. If you're going through your gears, you go first, second, second, third, fourth, back to third, back to second, up to third. And it's repetitive. Everything is repetitive. And that's why we tend to go into our own bubble. But you need to put a routine in place. That's the same every time when you sit in the car. Okay? When you decide to move off. Mirror, mirror, mirror. Indicate. Into gear. Catch your bite. As you're releasing the handbrake, you check your blind spot. Mirror, mirror, mirror. Indicate. Into gear. As you're releasing the handbrake, you check your blind spot. Keep doing it. Talk to yourself. You don't have to be in the car. You can be making yourself a cup of tea. You can be sitting on the bus. You can be at the bus stop. What's my routine for moving off? Mirror, mirror, mirror. Indicate. Into gear. Get your bite. As you're releasing the handbrake, you check your blind spot. And what we're trying to do here is just build up that routine, build up that habit so it becomes, you don't even think about it, it becomes second nature. That's why they give us the end plate at the end of the test, to ensure you continue to work on your routines, to continue to make sure that they are more solid and more solid and more solid. At the end of the process, you've done your 12 EDT lessons, maybe another 20 hours at max driving. That's 30 hours. It's nothing. You wouldn't learn the piano in 30 hours. So you have the 2 years to continue to work at it. It's only the job started. It's not the job finished. And that's hugely important that people understand that. The stats will show you accidents, the majority of accidents happen between 18 and 25 year olds. Just new drivers. They aren't working on the routines. They aren't continuing to work at putting these in place to make sure that your focus is outside the car, on the road, not in here. Did I put my handbrake on? Have I left my indicator off? These are the things that you need to be able to do automatically by putting the routines in place. The next thing we look at then is negotiating bends and junctions. Always, when we're coming up to a bend, first thing to do is take your foot off the accelerator. Don't accelerate into it. It's much more difficult to control a car when you're turning at speed. Speed is on the straight. But when we want to turn, when we want to deal with the junctions, or we want to deal with corners, or we want to deal with bends, slow the car right down. It's easier to manage it. It's easier to turn the wheel. You know, like, I mean, if you're trying to negotiate a bend, you slow the car down. You slow the car down coming into it and you accelerate out of it. And again, that will just make it so much easier for you. There's no panic, there's no stress. What's happening? No, I've slowed the car down coming in, so I know how to deal with it. I then turn into the turn and accelerate out of it. Entering slip roads. Again, it will be the same process, right? We're turning left into a slip road. We indicate left, right? Check your mirrors to see it's safe to do so. There's no bikes on the inside. We slow the car down. We either take it in second gear if it's safe to go. How do we know it's safe to go? By getting there, setting the car up and looking to the right. Is it safe? Check to the left. Is there any bikes coming through? And then gently accelerate out of it. Change when you're back on the straight. Now, you'll make it easier for yourself when you're changing gears by going through the gears more quickly and more smoothly. 22nd, 33rd, 44th. But why do I do that, or how do I do that? If I hold the gear stick, accelerate up to 20 into second gear, accelerate up to 30 into third gear, accelerate up to 40 into fourth gear. But I'm now going to get away from the junction much more quickly, and I'm keeping the traffic flowing. Get people moving. Keep them moving. Nothing will frustrate people more than somebody at a junction when they're stopped and they're looking and they're looking and looking. The guy behind says, there's plenty of room to go. Go, go, go. Right? But if you take your time, get your bite, move off, hold the gear stick, accelerate up to second, accelerate, 30, third, accelerate, 40, 40. Everybody's happy because we're all moving. And that's what people want and that's what people expect. And that's how we deal with these slip roads, just getting away from them. Okay? They have on it entering and exiting roundabouts and junctions. As I say, it is something that we need to do, but I wouldn't have anybody on the second lesson out onto roundabouts. You know what I mean? I think we need to build up your confidence first and get you more comfortable in the car, more control, and the feel of more control, which gives you much more confidence. That's pretty much what we're dealing with in the second lesson. There is one other thing, which would be traffic lanes, but again, I would deal with that more at a later point. If you have any questions, Q&A session on Sunday, info@topgeardrivingschool.ie. Send them in to us. They're coming in by the load, and we'll get through them all and we'll deal with them. There is an overlap, as I said last time, but write them down, send them in to us, and we will be happy to deal with them. Jack Doyle, Top Gear Driving School. Thank you.